بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد I think I turned the wrong light up. It's okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers and elders We were going through this chapter باب فضل الحب في الله The virtues of loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, last week our respected, dear, beloved Mawlana Adam Sahib, he did the dars. Very beautifully he explained the hadith of Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, which was narrated by Sayyidina Abu Idris al-Khawlani. Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahmatullahi alayhi is from the great Tabi'un, one of the great Tabi'un, known for his piety, known for his zuhd, known for his nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously those who came after the Sahaba, they learnt this piety and they learnt this khair and this goodness by staying in the companionship of the Sahaba. So he mentions this very beautiful hadith that Murana very nicely explained last week, mentioning the etiquettes of visiting each other, that we shouldn't cause any inconvenience to anyone. When we approach them, we shouldn't approach them from the back, call them from far, from a distance. Rather, we should come near to them, wait till they are free, and then approach them in a way that we don't scare them. We approach someone from the back and just prod someone or tap someone, then you can startle someone. So you approach them from the front. And all these very beautiful, mashallah, etiquettes were explained. So inshallah, there's only two hadith left in this chapter. So inshallah, we'll go through them. Now this hadith is very beautiful, this hadith that we're going to cover today. This is known as hadith al-tasalsul bil-muhabba. The hadith which is musalsal bil-muhabba. The musalsal hadith are those hadith that the ustad would hear from the student, would hear from their ustad, who would hear from their ustad, who would hear from their ustad, all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there would be some action associated with it. So for example, you have at-tasalsul bil-musafaha. The ustad heard from his student, heard from his ustad, and when the student heard from the ustad did musafaha with them. And then when that ustad heard from his ustad, he did musafaha with him, all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have tasalsul bil-aswadain. A date and water. That when the student heard from the ustad gave him a date and water. And similarly, when he heard from his ustad, all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this hadith we heard from our ustad Mufti Abdul Samad Sahib, the hadith I'm going to mention now. And he told us that it was tasalsul bil muhabba, which he heard from his ustad Sheikh Yunus Sahib Jaunpuri rahmatullahi alayhim. So inshallah, I'll mention the hadith first, inshallah, and then we'll do tasalsul bil muhabba. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ بيده وقال يا معاذ والله إني لأحبك ثم أوصيك يا معاذ لا تدعن في دبر كل صلاة تقول اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك حديث صحيح So this is a hadith our Ustad narrated to us and then we all did musafaha with him, we took hold of his hand and then he narrated this hadith. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took hold of his hand. And then he said, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, Wallahi inni la'uhibbuk. I swear by Allah, I take a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inni la'uhibbuk. Indeed, I surely love you. Very beautiful. Inni la'uhibbuka. So many emphasis. I surely love you. So straight away from this hadith, we understand the status of Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. How beloved, how dear he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Rasulullah saying, O Mu'adh, I love you. And that's why Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, after he left Madinatul Munawwara, he didn't return. He went to Syria and he was sent there by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach the people of Sham, Deen and Islam. And in the meantime, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, later on he passed away. There was a famous plague known as the plague of Amwas. In that plague, many of the great Sahaba passed away. Sayyidina Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, many of the great Sahaba passed away. And Sayyidina Mu'adh never saw Medina ever again. So it was like a final meeting with his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew this. And he said, Oh Mu'adh, it's possible that if you come in the future, you will not see me. Some mention Sayyidina Mu'adh did return, but when he returned, he found Medina so empty that he just left. And that was the same case with Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left Madinatul Munawwara and he couldn't bear to be in Medina anymore. And he moved to this small village on the outskirts, you know, in the desert. Many years later, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, this is obviously about 13, 14 years later, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu returned. So Sayyidina Uthman said, "Oh Bilal, please give adhan. It's been so many years we haven't heard your adhan." Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu stood up and he gave the adhan. And the people of Medina came running out of their home saying, "Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive." Because they associated his voice, his adhan, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was such love. The Sahaba, it was all about love and muhabba. And love is very important. And inshallah, the next chapter, I'm going to discuss this, about this muhabba and growing this love. Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took hold of his hand and he said, "Oh Mu'adh, I swear by Allah, I surely love you. Thumma usika ya Mu'adh. Thereafter, I'm giving you a piece of advice, O Mu'adh. La tada'anna." So wasiyya is a very important piece of advice. That's why in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times gives us wasiyya. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. Many times about our parents, Allah ta'ala gives us wasiyya. I mean, it's a very important piece of advice Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, "Usika ya Mu'adh, I'm giving you a very important piece of advice, O Mu'adh, you hold on to. لا تدعن في دبر كل صلاة تقول." After each salah, do not leave out this dua. Make sure that you say it. What is the dua? اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Very beautiful dua, very important dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, "Oh Mu'adh, after each salah, make sure you say this. Oh Allah, أعني على ذكرك. Help me in doing your dhikr and your remembrance. Assist me in doing your remembrance. Wa shukrik, and assist me in expressing shukr and gratitude to you. Wa husni ibadatik, and assist me in worshipping you in a beautiful manner." The ulama mentioned these are three of the most important purposes in our life. Three of the most important things that we do in our life. And they're very, very, very difficult. And remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shukr upon the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And shukr also means that at each and every single moment of our time, at each and every single moment of our life, a person is grateful and happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important. Firstly, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our entire time as a Muslim, our entire life is supposed to consist of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every action that we do is supposed to be dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person does it out of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, shukr, now this is also very important. A person goes through hardships, difficulties in life. Now when a person goes through hardships and difficulties, when a person goes through happiness and good times, many times it's easier to express gratitude to Allah. When a person goes through hardships, difficulties, things are not the way that they want them to be, then many times a person doesn't have the right amount of shukr. And shukr doesn't just mean shukr with the tongue, the alhamdulillah. It's very important, this as well, saying alhamdulillah. But shukr with the heart is far greater. That a person is constantly happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Raza mandi, khushnadi. That, "Oh Allah, I'm happy with you. Apne jo faisla kiya hai, oh Allah, main us faisla se razi hoon. Whatever decision, oh Allah, you decide, I'm always happy with that decision." It's very important. I remember my sheikh said to me once, I said, "Sheikh, my time, I'm just struggling to make time to do all of these different things that I should be doing." And he could see from the way I was saying it that I was quite upset about it. He said, "One of the most important things is shukr. You have to be happy. That a servant is never dissatisfied, always positive. Because one is that a person, it's their own fault that you are spending time doing the wrong things. In which case, that's your fault. So you blame yourself, you do istighfar, you cry in front of Allah Ta'ala, you express remorse, and then you change. But one is you actually do not have the capability, you don't have the time or some other restriction. Now you can't feel upset in this situation because Allah Ta'ala has placed you in that situation. Because now feeling upset in that situation shows that you are not fully happy, 100% content with Allah Ta'ala's decision. And that's very dangerous. And that's why he said your heart has..." So he said to me, "Okay, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Do this, these small things, or do this little bit of this. And at the same time, two things you must stick to. Three things." He said, "Istighfar, do lots of istighfar for any shortcomings. Because sometimes you think I don't have time, whereas you do have time, but you don't have to value the time or make the most of that time." And he said, "Durood Sharif, because Durood Sharif keeps you soft, it keeps you happy, it keeps you mellow. And he keeps that love strong with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he helps you to do good things. Durud Sharif has so many virtues. And he said, shukr. And he said, I'm not telling you to do shukr with your tongue. I'm telling you to do shukr with your heart. Always happy. And then you'll see slowly, 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 things will change. So it's very important, this gratitude to Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always grateful. Wallah, I'm happy. Doesn't matter what's happened in my life. Wallah, I'm happy with you. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's son, Sayyidina Ibrahim, passed away, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding him in his hands. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes, tears were flowing down his cheeks. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, the al-aynu tabki, that the eyes are crying, but O Allah, we are not going to say anything other than that which pleases you, Ya Allah. What's the Arabic one? In al-aynu tadma' wal-qalbu tahzan. The eyes are crying and the heart is sorrowful, but we are, oh Allah, we are happy with your decision. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this out loud so that the people are educated. That whenever a person goes through hardship, whenever a person goes through difficulty, it's natural to have some kind of sadness, but in the heart always, oh Allah, I'm 100% happy with you. And it's very hard. And that's why these three things which have been mentioned in this dua are very difficult to acquire. Making the remembrance of Allah your 24-hour pastime. Anything that a person does, they do it with the fikr and the concern that what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to be pleased with this or not? And secondly, always being in a state of positivity and happiness and gratitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our worship is done in the best possible manner. That we're all performing salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan. But how many weaknesses, how many faults are inside of our ibadah? Like, Ibrahim Dawla Sahib from Nizamuddin Markaz, he used to say, "Hamare istighfar bi qabil istighfar." That when I do istighfar, I have to do istighfar for my istighfar. That's how poor my istighfar is. It's the reality. I'm crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm raising my hands, I'm doing dua, but there are so many things which is wrong with the way I'm doing that action. I'm performing my salah, but there are so many mistakes and shortcomings in that action. So we always, so that's why we're doing dua to Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah, you've given me the ability to worship you. Let me worship you in the best possible way, in the manner in which you will be pleased. So it's a beautiful dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Oh Mu'adh, never miss this dua. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. We should all do this dua. Some ulama have mentioned, because it says at the end of the salah, that it's referring to before salam. So at the end, after Durood Sharif, a person, you know, we read the dua after Durood Sharif. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathir. There are different duas we can read at that time. So many narrations mention so many different duas. And one of them is this one. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Similarly, reading it after the salah, we can read it as well. No problem, inshallah. But we should make a habit of reading this after each and every single salah. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا كان عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمر رجل فقال يا رسول الله إني لأحب هذا فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعلمته قال لا قال أعلمه فلحقه فقال إني أحبك في الله فقال أحبك الذي أحببتني له رواه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح. سيدنا أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه إرشاد فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک آدمی رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم کے پاس سے گزرا. ایک آدمی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس بیٹھا ہوا تھا اور دوسرا آدمی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس سے گزرا. تو پہلے شخص جو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس بیٹھا ہوا تھا اس نے فرمایا یا رسول اللہ, یا اللہ کے پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, بے شک میں اس دوسرے شخص سے محبت کرتا ہوں. یہ دوسرا آدمی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس سے گزرا, رسول تو اس شخص فرماتے ہیں کہ یا رسول اللہ, میں بلا شبہ اس شخص سے محبت کرتا ہوں. تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اس سے ارشاد فرمایا کہ اعلمتہ, کیا تم نے اس کو بتلایا ہے کہ تم اس سے محبت رکھتے ہو؟ قال لا, پہلے شخص نے فرمایا کہ نہیں. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا اعلم, اس کو بتلا دو, اس کو اطلاع کر دو کہ تم اس سے محبت رکھتے ہو. فلحقہ, تو اس شخص نے جا کر دوسرے شخص سے ملاقات کیا. فقال, اور فرمایا انی احبک فی اللہ, میں تم سے اللہ کے واسطے محبت کرتا ہوں. فقال احبك الذي احببتني له, تو دوسرے شخص نے ارشاد فرمایا جس کے واسطے تم نے میرے ساتھ محبت کی ہے وہ تم سے محبت کر لے, وہ بھی تمہارا پیارا ہو جائے. So this hadith, سیدنا انس بن مالک رضی اللہ عنہ narrates that a person came to Rasulullah, a person was sitting with Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, and a second person passed by. So the first person said, Oh Messenger of Allah, I love this person. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَعْلَمْتَهُ, have you informed him? قَالَ لَا, he said, no, I've not informed him. قَالَ أَعْلِمْهُ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and inform him. فَلَحِقَهُ, so he met him, فَقَالَ, and he said, إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فقال, so the second person said, أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي لَهُ, may the one for whom you love me love you in return. It's very beautiful. So this is very important, one of the important teachings, that whenever we love someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we inform them that I love you for the sake of Allah. And this grows the muhabba, and it grows the ulfa. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he taught us what a beautiful way to increase and spread the muhabba is to give salam amongst each other. Because you've got to let people know. Otherwise a person doesn't know. Sometimes just by your face and your facial reaction, a person doesn't know. Similarly, a husband loving the wife, wife loving the husband, child loving the parents. Parents are loving the children, you've got to tell them. Though sometimes some children grow up and say, my dad never loved me. Because my dad never told me he loved me. So it's very important that we say, I love you. Even when we admonish them and we tell them off, say, I love you, but I need you to understand something. Because when you say something, when you say, I love you, then straight away you've won the heart over, and then you're in a position where you can give the nasiha, the advice, and the advice will sink in. But if you're coming from a position of confrontation, then the person many times is not going to accept the advice. When it comes from a place of love, then a person very easily, readily accepts the advice. The person really wants the best for me, because they love me. So that's why it's very important. Well, you know the pious people, subhanAllah. I was reading that one of the pious, somebody said to him, "Inni uhibbuka fillah." So he said, "Ahabbaka alladhi ahbabtani lahu." He did the sunnah, followed the sunnah. May Allah Ta'ala love you because you have loved me for his sake. And then he said, "Oh Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an akuna 'indahu mahbubun wa 'indaka maghdub." Oh Allah, I seek your protection that he, from the fact that he loves me, but you dislike me. I don't know. This person is saying he loves me for your sake, whereas what if you dislike me? And what if you are angry with me? I seek your protection from this. Straight away their mind would go towards this. That what is Allah? What is my status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Log kya samjhe? Log apne baare mein kya soche? Isse insaan ko kuch farq nahi padta. But Allah ta'ala aapke baare mein kya sochte? Isse farq padta hai. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala think about you? What's your maqam? What's your status in the sight of Allah ta'ala? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to make an announcement now on the earth that who are his beloved people and who are the people that he is angry with, which list will we be in? And the sahaba were always worried. Sahaba were always worried. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to do the dua, Allahumma in kunta katabtani fi ilmika shaqiyan famhuni waktubni sa'idan. Oh Allah, جب میں اپنے ماں کے گود میں تھا اپنے ماں کے پیٹ میں تھا اس وقت آپ نے فیصلہ کر لیا تھا کہ کون بدبخت ہوگا اور کون نیک بخت ہوگا who is going to be fortunate and who is going to go to Jannah and who is going to go to Jahannam آپ نے اس وقت فیصلہ کر لیا تھا جب میں اپنے ماں کے پیٹ میں تھا اور مجھے معلوم نہیں ہے آپ نے میرے بارے میں کیا فیصلہ کی ہے so oh Allah اگر میرے بارے میں آپ نے بدبختی کا فیصلہ کی ہے تو اللہ میرے نام کو اس لسٹ سے مٹا دو اور نیک بخت اور اچھے لوگوں کے لسٹ میں میرے نام کو لکھ دو The Sahaba was so fikrmand, so concerned. Just because they were Sahabi, they already had that maqam. But the reality, this is the sifat, the beautiful qualities in the heart. That a person always thinks, I don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until I'm not, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, if I had the guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala has accepted one single sajda of mine, I would hope to die right now. At least with the guarantee that one of my a'mal is maqbool, is accepted. But I don't know. I don't know in the sight of Allah has any of my actions been accepted. So we have husnul dhan billah, we have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we live our life in this fear and in this hope. And that keeps a person humble. And it doesn't make a person big-headed, and it doesn't make a person egotistic. Rather, a person thinks that, I don't know what my situation is going to be in front of Allah. Who am I to judge somebody else? And many times by judging somebody else, Sayyidina Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, for many days, I used to have a habit of performing tahajjud salah. And then for a few nights, I couldn't wake up for tahajjud salah. And then I remembered, it was because of a sin I did. And do you know what sin he did? According to him, this was a sin. He said, somebody was crying. Somebody was crying in front of Allah. And I said, he's showing off. In my mind, he said, I thought that this person is just showing off. And he said, this was the reason why for many nights, I was deprived of tahajjud salah. So the pious people would straight away apne amal ko tatolte the. What have I done wrong that I am deprived of tahajjud salah? So we blame others. Rather, we should look at ourselves and see what our weaknesses are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to understand and practice upon these few ahadith. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.